Thank you so much. All right, take your Bible, would you please? And let's review just a little bit. Go to Ephesians 5, and one verse in Ephesians 5, just to jump us off into this place. I'll finish up last hour's session and jump right into the nights, and we'll be done. Ephesians 5, verse 31. Do you know this one? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What's he talking about here? He's talking about our marriage relationship. Are you aware of the fact that today's culture undermines Christianity's teaching on marriage and sexuality and romance? How many of you did know that? Did you know that? You know that, don't you? How many of you believe that the truths of Christianity are far better than the culture we live in? Do y'all believe that? And it's time we believe that, and it's time we embrace that. It's time we act on that. If you're at the bottom of page 8, I was talking to you last hour on being one physically, the act of love. And I talked with you in the last session about practicing the power of romance. How many of y'all agreed with that one, did you? And I talked to you about practicing the power of sensuality. I was just reminding myself through the notes here, and when you're practicing the power of sensuality, that's why you dress up for each other. You look good for each other. You wear her favorite cologne and his favorite perfume, and you keep yourself clean. You just look good. If she doesn't like your style, change it. You ought to be really good. If she loves foot massages, then you ought to get pretty good at giving them. If she likes back rubs, then you ought to get pretty good at giving a back rub. If she likes to shop, you ought to give her $500 and send her. For you men that don't like to go shopping, I can tell you something. You send her with $500 and she doesn't care if you go or not. Who's the comedian? Was it Red Skelton? Red Skelton, who said, of course, he said, when I go shopping with my wife, I hold her hand, because if I turn her loose, she buys things. So we ought to practice the power of sensuality, and we ought to practice the power, and it's at the bottom of your page there on page 8. We ought to practice the power of sexuality. God designed us. God designed us in marriage, and he gave us human sexuality for our marriage. It does bring great happiness. It brings satisfaction and depth to married love. And I just want to take a moment here and address two issues tonight that are very serious. And the first one is, I want to address our children. My wife and I married a couple some months ago, and we did premarital counseling with them. And really, basically what I'm teaching here is almost right out of our premarital counseling. I start with communication. I deal with the roles and responsibilities a husband has and a wife has from Ephesians 5 and other passages. And then I deal with the act of love. And as we were dealing with this issue, with this couple, we do a split session where we meet together and talk a few moments, and then Bethley takes the wife, and we talk about the honeymoon, the bedroom. And I take the guy. This guy was raised in the fundamental Baptist world. His parents are highly educated, very good people. In fact, he's highly educated. He's got right now about 9 years of post high school education years. Very highly educated. And we're talking a little bit, and so I start talking about his honeymoon night and just. You know, so I'm going to talk to you about this because this is part of your marriage. The bedroom is part of your marriage. And so I start describing some things you should start doing to prepare for your honeymoon night and your honeymoon week. And he looked uncomfortable. So I said, you've never heard any of this before, have you? And he said, no. I said, do you know about this? Kind of. I'm talking a guy older than your teenagers, okay? He said, I thought that's something you did like maybe after you've been married several years. It caught me off guard. But you know what I'm finding out? The culture we live in has so impacted Christianity that our young people today have no idea what God says about human sexuality. I found an article just the other day someone sent me and said, you'll find this interesting, because they'd heard me preach on these topics. Let me just read a little bit. Today, 1 in 8 adult Americans is taking antidepressant medication, in which one of the common side effects is reduced libido, interest in sexuality. Social media, the ping of an incoming text message or a new Facebook post, is now proven scientifically to deliver a dopamine hit to our brain, a smaller one than sex would deliver, to be sure, but with all the difficulties of managing a relationship. In a study of married 18 to 39-year-old United States of Americans, social media use predicted poor marriage quality, lower marital happiness, increased marital trouble. Not exactly a recipe for an active love life. If these were the only causes, the solution would be straightforward. A little more commitment, a little less screen time, a few more dates over dinner, et cetera, et cetera. But if we follow the data, we will find that the problem goes much deeper, down to one of the foundational tenets of enlightened opinion, the idea that men and women must be equal in every domain. Social science cannot tell us if this is true, but it can tell us what happens if we act as though it is. Today, the results are in. This was an article written by a professor at the University of Austin in Texas. Today, the results are in. Equality between the sexes is leading to the demise of sex. It's just strange to think this way. Who would have thought that we would live in a world that is against human sexuality? But it's happening all around us, even in the church. We're such an upside-down culture. But ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to know that He designed your marriage, blesses your marriage, and blesses it with human sexuality. It doesn't mean we're all in the same place. It doesn't mean that at all. But every one of us ought to be romantic. Every one of us ought to practice the power of romance. Any one of you can go on a date and flirt with each other. Any one of you can praise and lift up and encourage and build up and smile at the other one and be happily married. It does mean we ought to use sensuality. It does mean we ought to dress nicely for each other, and we ought to take a shower before we go to bed, and we ought to smell good, and we ought to use perfume, and we ought to dress nicely, and we ought to practice the power of sexuality. It's God's idea. And so I want to talk about your children, because your children is living in a culture that ridicules what I'm talking to you about. And moms and dads, if you're not careful, in our church, it's like, we're not going to say anything because that's really awkward. But I want to tell you, you don't have to say anything today, because your kids can go to school and somebody at school will show them a phone that will start giving them the answers, but they're wrong answers. Or they'll type it into a Google search and get an answer, but it's a wrong answer. Did you know that God wants you to invest in your family in these matters? You ought to teach your children what the Bible says about human sexuality. You don't have to be awkward about it. You don't have to be weird about it. But your children ought to know that God designed human sexuality and that it's okay. And we say to our kids, you know, you're not ready for all the details yet. But we do want you to know that it is normal for you to be a guy who likes a girl. That's normal. And if you're a girl, it's normal, sweetheart, for you to notice a guy and think, you know, he's kind of cute. That's normal. That's okay. We don't do that dating game yet because you're not ready for marriage. And when you get old enough to be married and you're ready for marriage, then we'll start the process of finding a spouse with you. You can start dating around a little bit when you're old enough and smart enough and wise enough to take care of a spouse. If you're 14 years old and you can't make your bed, you probably don't need a date. Is that good stuff? That's good, right? That's worth the whole conference right there, wasn't it? But I don't want to be silly about it. It's just that your children need you to think right about human sexuality and to convey it to them. The second thing I wanted to tell you about is that we have a problem in our culture called pornography. It's affecting our marriages negatively. I find so many guys today in counseling with them that because of the perversion of the pornographic industry of our day, and I'm saying this very softly and gently, I wouldn't offend you for anything in the world, but the fact of the matter is it's an epidemic problem in our culture, even in our churches. You say, oh, my kids wouldn't look at that. Do they have friends with a phone? Do they ever go to school and get around other kids? It's pretty certain they're going to see it. It's almost so you got to train your kids what to do about it. But a lot of guys are bringing into marriage a garbage-filled mind. And it's affecting human sexuality. And so, you know, God's pro-marriage. And I want to just give you some practical advice here for a moment. Just how do you deal with these issues of your past if you've had a perverted, immoral relation in your past or you've got pornography in your past? You should be focused only on your spouse. Cut all ties with the past. Delete every name. Delete every account. If you can't handle Facebook, you're foolish to have it. If to you Instagram is Instaporn, delete the account. If you can't handle a smartphone, get a dumb one. You could survive. If you can't handle it, don't have one at all. You'll probably be happier. It's okay. You could survive without a phone, but you can't survive without purity in your marriage. So you need it. So I read this. I did some research on it because so many guys were coming to say, "Brother Dave, it's hard because when I'm with my wife, I got all these issues and I feel guilty and I'm struggling." And so I did some research on it, and I found three things you could do if you've had this battle in your past that'll help you. And then I'm going to jump into tonight's session. You keep your eyes open when you're with your spouse. Keep your eyes open. Fall in love with her and her only. Look at each other. Focus on each. Keep your eyes open. When you're in the bedroom, keep your eyes open. Close your eyes, you'll fantasize about the garbage of your past. Keep your eyes open. Forgive the frankness tonight, but it's a massive problem in our generation. Call each other by name. Call each other by name. Her name, his name. Call each other by name. And talk to each other, even during the bedroom. You focus on each other. Our culture is so perverted that it's damaging us in the church. And we've got to overcome it. How do you have a smoking hot romance in the culture we live in? How? Well, I got some answers for you on page 9 there. And here's what I would suggest to you, and our time will be gone. Bethany's going to help me with a little bit of it tonight, and I had more of that article to read to you, and I'm just going to skip it for sake of time. How do you have a smoking hot romance? Well, you start by being best friends. How many of you in the room are married tonight? Can I see your hand? Are you married to your best friend? Hope you are. You ought to be best friends. Now, that somebody says, well, that goes without saying. Oh, no, it doesn't. Don't you know couples that are married that don't even know each other, really? They're strangers, and they're at each other, and they get front. How many marriages do you know that end in divorce? You know why they end in divorce? Because couples that pledge their life to each other to the tune of thousands of dollars stop being best friends. You ever had a best friend that's now a stranger? Most of us have. Don't you have friends from high school that you were buddies with that you don't even know where they live now? They were your best buddy, but you don't even know. You don't even know their wife's name or their husband's name. But it should never happen in your marriage. You start by being best friends. I'm talking about absolutely in love with each other, and you talk to each other, and you spend time together, you have shared interests, you serve together. I was thinking today, Brother Harold, how did you and I become friends? And I had to think about it a while. I feel like I've known you all my life, but I know I haven't known you all my life because it's not been that long ago that you and I didn't even know each other. If I remember correctly, the way your relationship started with me was Stephen. I think I preached at college. And am I right? I think Stephen heard me in chapel, and Stephen really must walk with God because he heard me in chapel and called his dad and said, you ought to have Dave Young. And so I know that Stephen is a man of God. Can I get an amen here? And I'm being silly, and you know that. But he said to dad, and so I got a call from a guy named Harold Vaughn that I didn't know but that I'd heard about. And what I'd heard about was that he did this thing called prayer advances, and my friend Will Gawkin had said to me one day, you ever heard of Harold Vaughn? He said, Harold Vaughn's a great guy, he's my friend. But I'd never heard of Harold Vaughn, and I don't know anything about him. I just knew that he didn't know how to say retreat. why in the world do you have an advance and not a retreat? And I thought, well, that makes sense, does it? I'd never heard of that before. But he called me and scheduled me, and we met together, and it was just we talked, and we spent some time together. We prayed for each other, and we served together. And the next thing you know, I would say that Brother Harold Vaughn is one of my good buddies, maybe a best friend kind of status. He is one of the guys I pray for every day. Every day I pray for this guy. Every day, and God will bless him and use him. And you know, he's getting old; he doesn't have long. I want the Lord to bless him and use him and empower him and take care of him. That wasn't fair, was it? But honestly, it's time. How in the world do you have a best friend relationship with your spouse? It's going to take time. How often do y'all talk to each other? I don't literally talk to each other. Like, how are you doing? And listen. Do you date? Do you serve together? If you go in soul winning at your church, go together. Go to church. You sit in church together. Sing together. This is building a friendship. The way to have a smoking hot romance starts by being best friends. My father-in-law, before he died, said to me one day, "You know what's wrong with the average couple in the church today? They're not best friends." Tell you what's wrong with couples in our churches today? They're not best friends. And it sounded weird. I mean, what do you mean they're not best friends? They're married to each other. But I'm telling you, I'm aware that's a lot of truth in that now. A lot of couples aren't close. And you got to spend time to invest in a close relationship. The reason that best friend from high school is no longer your best friend is because you guys stopped investing. You stopped calling each other. You stopped doing things together. You stopped talking to each other. You lost common interests. And now you don't even know each other. And that's fine in life because you'll have any number of people that come in and out of your life as you move around and you get transferred and you go one church to another church and people get... That's common in life. But it ought not to be common in a marriage. Every day that you live, God's called you to be best friends. You ever been around an older couple and they've been married for years and they're best friends? All they got left is each other. That's all they got left. All their other friends are gone. They're down to themselves now. And they can't hear each other half the time. That's why they get along so well. Did you hear about the lady? She got new hearing aids. And she went to her doctor to get them adjusted. And he said, "How do you like them?" "Oh," she said, "I love them." He said, "How does your family like them?" She said, "They don't know I got them." He said, "Well, why not?" She said, "'Cause I've just been listening. I've changed my will four times." maybe it'd help you if you got hearing aids in your marriage. But you got to be best friends. Do you date? Do you spend time together? Do you talk? Run through these quickly. You got to be best friends. You ought to pray together. Now, let me park on that one a few moments. Do you in your marriage pray together? Do you pray together? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Are you on your way to heaven? Then you ought to pray with your spouse. You ought to pray by yourself. I believe that. But you ought to pray with your spouse. And you know, you don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes. You don't have to weep and wail and spend an hour. But every day, you two ought to get together and you ought to pray together. You ought to pray together every day. Say, "Well, I don't know what to pray." Well, you don't have to be, you don't have to be deep about it. Just pray together every day. Say, "Honey, let's pray." And you take her hands in yours and you thank God for each other. Thank you. You can be thankful, can't you? How many of you got something to be thankful for? So you could say to God, "Thank you for," couldn't you? How many of y'all could you do that? So you can say thank together, thank God together, and you could pray for each other, couldn't you? You ought to pray for her. She's married to you. For crying out loud, she needs prayer. Give me an amen right there. It's a truth. She needs you to pray for her, and he needs you to pray for him. You ought to pray together. And guys, you're the one that ought to make that happen. See, what's prayer got to do with romance? It's about the relationship. If you want to have a smoking hot romance, you got to be smoking hot close. And the way to be smoking hot close is to be best friends. That's the physical. That's the emotional relationship. And you got to pray together and serve God together. That's the spiritual relationship. All of those are essential if you're going to have smoking hot romance. It's vital in Christianity. How many have children? Do you pray for them every day by name? Do you have grandkids? Pray for them every day by name? This is important. So you ought to pray together. Here's the third thing. You ought to read marriage books together and discuss them. You ought to read marriage books together and discuss them. This has been one of the greatest things we've done in our marriage. First year we were married, we read the book Intended for Pleasure by Dr. Ed Wheat, a Christian medical doctor who wrote a medical Christian book on sex. It was a help to us in our first year of marriage. We've read Dr. LaHaye's book, The Act of Marriage, about marriage sexuality. Somewhere along the way, we read Love and Respect together. I came in some months ago, and my wife was reading a book called Sheet Music. And I thought to myself, why is she reading a book on music? And I think I said something like that. Why are you reading on music? She goes, it's not music. It's the sheets. It's like, oh, well, let me read that book. And we did, and it's a good book. See, it was a help to us. His Needs, Her Needs is a book in our library. And so we read together. And let me just say how we do this. Often, Bethy will read the book, and then I'll read the book. She'll read the book, I'll read the book. And then we go on a date and ask questions. You know, the author said this. What do you think about that? And so we discuss it. We just talk back and forth a little bit about what we just read. And when we read the book Sheet Music together, it was a little frank in a few areas. You need to be married to read that book. But it was a good reminder. And you know, there was a couple things in there were like, we've never tried that before. You know, that was a little, well, why not? We're still young. And so read together and go on a date and talk about it. You don't have to have a lot of money. And you don't have to, you know, some good friends of ours got us a gift card to the Melting Pot. That's a very special and rare treat for me and Bethley. She likes that place because we go there. It's a little dark in there. You can get a private, more private booth. And you ever been to a Melting Pot? It's a fondue restaurant. You have to cook every single bite of every piece of thing you eat. It takes time to eat there. And for me as a guy, I'm like, are you kidding me? Bring the food. And but my wife knows if I go there to eat with her, she gets about 2.5 hours of total uninterrupted time with me. And so it's a phenomenal gift for someone to get us a gift like that. That's a special thing. But we'll go out like that and just talk. We date each other. We go on dates together. You don't have to have a lot of money. Not everybody can, you know, there's no way. We haven't been to Melting Pot in a long time, but we're about to change that, aren't we? And we don't do that all the time. You go to McDonald's. You can get a dollar menu for $3 or $4. You could get a meal at McDonald's. You don't have to go to McDonald's. Take a walk in the cemetery. There's flowers everywhere. Nobody will bother you. If they do, run. You think of any unique thing about dates you'd share with them? Finding help, you know, the kids. Bethany and I, when we were younger, we were on the road. Our kids were small, or there was anybody to watch our children. You parents that have younger kids, we had nobody to watch our children. So every Wednesday night, we called Dave and Bethany night in our revivals. We'd finished the revival, and the kids knew that this is Mommy Daddy night. The revival's over. I didn't counsel with you on Wednesday night. Revival's over. We're going home. We're going to go home, get the kids a snack. They're going to bed. The kids knew Wednesday night, you got to go to bed. You got to be in bed on Wednesday night because Wednesday night, we didn't have anybody to watch the babies. We just put them to bed. And it was our night. And we did a variety of things on those nights. Sometimes I'd run out and get us fast food and come in. We'd sit on the couch and have a date together. We'd talk. Sometimes we'd watch a film. For you that aren't as spiritual as we are, you probably call those movies. But we would watch a film, and we would sometimes just sit and talk. Sometimes we'd just go to bed early. Yes, for that reason. Because it's our night. You young couples, most of you don't have a church. Don't you know somebody in your church you can trust? Trade off with them. Say, you know, this Friday night you take my kids, 2 weeks from now we'll take yours. The next 2 weeks you take mine, the next 2 weeks we'll take. Trade off. And some of you older couples, there's not a lot you can do as you get older. And, well, I don't have a ministry for the Lord. You know what you could do? You could find a young couple in the church and build a great relationship with them and say, you know what, one Friday night a month you bring the babies over, we got the babies, you guys go parking. I mean, go out to eat. And if you want to go parking, then do that too. And there's nothing wrong with it if you're married. That's true right there. Don't get stuck or anything. That's embarrassing. And but date each other. We should pursue number 5, a happy, fun, flirty relationship. You ever flirt with each other? You should. That's a fun relationship. That's smoking hot romance. Flirting with each other is always in order. And ought to be part of your marriage. It ought to be fun. It ought to be flirty. It ought to be happy. We text, we write letters, we have the Mary Englebright calendar. The Mary Englebright calendar has one page per day, and sometimes when I'm leaving for a day or two and she's home alone, I'll go ahead and write notes every day on the Mary Englebright calendar. So she'll tear it off, and there's a message from the man. And the kids are going to read it, so you got to be rated G. Well, you don't have to be, but it's probably advisable. But there's all kinds of ways to have a happy, fun, flirty relationship. That's smoking hot romance. Our culture makes us think, because of the pornographic industry and the garbage we see on television, that smoking hot relationship is primarily about this weird experience in the bedroom. And the way the world shows it, it can be a weird experience. But God wants your whole marriage to be this wonderful romantic relationship where the two of you enjoy one another. It involves the bedroom. It involves flirting. It involves reading books together. It involves going on dates. It involves taking care of problems. I put number 6 down here. Is this okay to say? Well, shouldn't we make love as often as the other wants to do so? 1 Corinthians 7, in the church at Corinth, they had a major problem with temple prostitution in the city of Corinth. The men married for financial gain, for social status, to get a better job, to get more money, to marry into a wealthy family. People didn't marry for Christianity in those days. And in the church, there were all these people married, but if they had a sexual need, they went to the temple prostitutes in the city of Corinth. Well, that's perverted. That's wicked. That's godless. That's the world. We're the church. We are people of God. And so Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, hey, look, you shouldn't be involved in fornication. You should be in love with each other. And he says to you men, he said, you should never defraud your wife. She has a need. You're called of God to meet that need. He's talking about the bedroom. And he says to you ladies, your husband's got a physical need, a desire. That's God-given. And you should never defraud each other in that area. You should always be for that area. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in verses 1 through 5. In fact, he said there's only one reason that we should forego the married bed's relationship. And he said that's for times of fasting and prayer. And he said then with mutual consent. So it'd be like I would say, baby, I got to really pray and I got to seek the Lord. So I'm sorry. And so maybe now this isn't going to work. I got to fast and pray. And my wife, if she were speaking here, and I'm not going to let her, because if she were speaking here, she'd say, he never fasts and prays. That's what she would say. That is not totally true. That's not totally true. There are times I fast and pray. It's not very often. Okay. And so this is essential. Look at the top of page 9, would you? Today's culture undermines Christianity's teaching on marriage, sex, and romance. But the truths of Christianity are far better options in the culture we live in. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. It's a beautiful thing to be married. It's a beautiful thing to be in love. It's not easy, but it can be. Any relationship takes work, money, time. But Bethy and I can stand on this platform and tell you tonight that taking the time to date, to read books together, setting aside time to talk every day, emphasizing the bedroom, you know what you'll find out? You can have a smoking hot romance. Bethley's dad took me one time soul winning. It's my pastor. It's my father-in-law. Took me soul winning, and I got in the car, and he had to get fuel. So he pulled into a service station. While he was getting fuel, I pulled down the sun visor. Just reached up and pulled the sun visor down, and when I did, there was an envelope that fell out. It said Linda. That's my mother-in-law. Linda. It was open. Inquiring minds want to know. So I just slid out a card. It was a card, Hallmark card, some kind of card. It was Hallmark. It was a card, you know, about the size of this. Had a beautiful picture on the front of it. Had this river, this water scene. It said, just this picture. So I opened it and looked in, and it said inside, it said, my love for you runs like a river to the sea. And then my dad-in-law wrote, Linda, I have no idea what that means. But if it makes you feel like making out, I mean it with all of my heart. And he signed it, Love, Jim. It was like, that's my preacher. That's my preacher right there. God bless him. That's my preacher. Now, honestly, you shouldn't have any excuse tonight. Bethy wasn't with me, I don't know how long ago, when I met a couple that had been married 76 years. They were so sweet. All those years of, I'm sure, seasons, trials. Happily married at 76 years. They were in there right on the edge of 100. They got married when they were 14 and 15. 76 years they had been married. He flirted with her. Me and the pastor. He winked at her, baby doll, sweet pie. Yeah, honey. Wink, wink. Pastor, can I get you a Mountain Dew? She said. Oh, sure. He said, let me run and get it. Let me run. No, 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 no. She said, you're in my house. She gets her walker. And when she went by her husband, this is the absolute truth, he reached out and patted her. He winked at me and the preacher, and he was like, 76, they're 101. And here's what she did. She goes, stop that. And you know what? We laugh at it because it is funny, isn't it? But I want to tell you, God wants you to have that sweet of a marriage. And you can. You can. It's going to come a day we're all going to get older. But we can always be in love. And God wants you to be. What could you change in your marriage that would make it better? What could you do that would help you to have a more romantic marriage? Then I'm going to say to you tonight, God's called you to do it. May God help you to do it. Dear Father, as I come to the close of this session tonight, as we get ready to conclude the night, help all of us to have a happy, fun, and romantic marriage. Help us to understand what we ought to change and what we could add. Help us to know what we should do.